Chapter 11. What I Heard in the Apple Barrel. "No, not I," said Silver. "Flint was captain. I was quartermaster, along of my timber leg." "Ah," cried another voice, that of the youngest hand on board, and evidently full of admiration. "He was the flower of the dock, was Flint." "Now, look here," said Silver. "You're young, you are, but you're as smart as paint. I see that when I set my eyes on you, and I'll talk to you like a man." You may imagine how I felt when I heard this abominable old rogue addressing another in the very same words of flattery as he had used to myself. I think if I had been able, that I would have killed him through the barrel. Meantime, he ran on, little supposing he was overheard. "Here it is about gentlemen of fortune," he said. "They live rough, and they risk swinging, but they eat and drink like fighting cocks, and when a cruise it's done, why, it's hundreds of pounds in their pockets. Now the most goes for rum and then to sea again in their shirts, but that's not the course I lay. I put it all away. Some here, some there, none too much anywhere. I set up gentlemen in earnest, and I've lived easy in the meantime. Never denied myself a nothing the heart desires, and slept soft and ate dainty all my days. And how did I begin? Before the mast, like you." "Well," said the other, "but all the other money's gone now, ain't it? You daren't show face in Bristol after this." "Why, where might you suppose it was?" asked Silver, derisively. "At Bristol, in banks and places," answered his companion. "It were," said the cook, "it were when we weighed anchor, but my old missus has it all by now." "And can you trust your missus?" asked the other. "Gentlemen of fortune," returned the cook, "usually trusts little among themselves, and right they are. But I have a way with me, I have." There was some that were feared of Pew, and some that was feared of Flint, but Flint, his own self, was feared of me. Feared he was, and proud. They was the roughest crew afloat, was Flint's. The devil himself would have been feared to go to sea with them. Well, now I tell you, I'm not a boasting man, and you've seen yourself how easy I keep company. But when I was quartermaster, lambs wasn't the word for Flint's old buccaneers. Ah, you may be sure of yourself in John's ship. Well, I tell you now, replied the lad, I didn't half a quarter like the job till I had this talk with you, John, but there's my hand on it now. And a brave lad you were, and smart too, answered Silver, shaking hands so heartily that all the barrel shook. And a finer figurehead for a gentleman of fortune I never clapped my eyes on. By this time I had begun to understand the meaning of their terms. By a gentleman of fortune, they plainly meant neither more nor less than a common pirate, and the little scene that I had overheard was the last act in the corruption of one of the honest hands, perhaps the last one left aboard. But on this point I was soon to be relieved, for Silver gave a little whistle, a third man strolled up and sat down by the party. "Dick's with us," said Silver. "Oh, I knew he'd come around," returned the voice of Israel Hands. "He's no fool, is Dick." And he turned and spat. "But look here," he went on. "Here's what I want to know, Barbecue. How long are we going to wait? I've had almost enough of Captain Smollett. He's hazed me long enough. I want to go into that cabin, I do." "Israel," said Silver, "your head ain't much account, nor ever was. But you're able to hear, I reckon. Leastways, your ears is big enough. Now here's what I say. You'll berth forward, and you'll live hard, and you'll speak soft, and you'll keep sober till I give the word." "Well, I don't say no, do I?" growled Hans. "What I say is, when?" "When? By the powers," cried Silver. "Well, now, if you want to know, I'll tell you when. The last moment I can manage, and that's when.